Good afternoon, beloved. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll begin in verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 9, but our focus will be on verses 5 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Hear God's word. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? What then is Paul, and what is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Amen. Let's pray together. Holy and good God, we turn now from worshiping with our lips and with our voices to worshiping with our ears. Give us, we pray, ears to hear what you have to say to us this afternoon. Make us quick to listen, slow to anger, and ready and willing to obey. Holy Spirit of God, guide us now in all truth and show us Christ. Show us what he desires and requires of his church, and enable us to walk therein. Bless your saints as your word is expounded. This we pray in the name of Christ, the living word. Amen. Amen. Well, we took a short break from our series in 1 Corinthians. Well, we took a break for Easter Sunday and also for a post-resurrection service. And thank you, Elder Mike, for instructing us last week. Well, as we return to 1 Corinthians today, Paul's attention shifts. His attention, as he corrects and rebukes the Corinthians for their immaturity and for their divisions, his attention shifts now to church leadership. The Corinthians, they had a fundamental misunderstanding of what their pastors were. Some were saying, "I am of Paul." Others, "I am of Apollos." And as a result of this misplaced focus on men, Paul or Apollos, the church was divided. So they had a fundamental misunderstanding of ministers, of pastors, and of their ministry. A misplaced focus, if you will. What's more, they had no concept of the church's foundations. They had no concept of the church's foundations. You see, it is God Almighty who builds his church, and he does so upon his foundation. Look at verse 11 as we jump forward just a bit. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So they had a misunderstanding of servants or the ministers of the church. They also had a misunderstanding of the foundations of the church. And finally, they had a skewed understanding not only of the ministers and of the foundation, the Corinthians had a misunderstanding of themselves, of church membership, of what it means to be the church. So we have our work laid out for us for the next 3 weeks. Today, this afternoon, our focus will be on God's servants, on pastors, on ministers. Next week, God's solid foundation. What is the church's foundation? And finally, our focus will turn to God's sheep. Who are we? What are we? Paul says, and we read it in verse 9, we are God's field. We are God's building. Verse 16, if you jump down, we are the temple of God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, okay then, our focus today is on rightly understanding God's ministers, his servants. Paul calls pastors, if you look down there in verse 5, he calls pastors servants. Servants. And the word here, and you'll recognize it, is diakonoi, where we get the word deacon. We are servants, in other words, deacons, if you will. One of the reasons the Corinthian church was so divided, as divided as it was, one of the reasons that it was as immature as it was, well, is because they misunderstood the ministry, specifically the role of leaders and leadership within the church. Theirs was a preoccupation with self, with men, with others, and with their views. Rather than being preoccupied with God, rather than focusing in on God, they were saying, I'm of Paul, or I am of Apollos. Their focus was totally misplaced. They were preoccupied with servants instead of the master. And the solution to this misplaced focus and preoccupation, the solution is always, it is always to refocus on God. It is always to reprioritize. And so Paul says, it is God who gives the work, God who gives the growth, he gives the increase, and God who gives the reward. And you see that outline right there in your text. God gives the work, verse 5. He calls servants, and he gives them their task. Paul says, as the Lord gave to each one, in verse 5. God gives the growth, verses 6 and 7. He gives, as Paul says, the increase. And God gives the reward, verse 8. To each according to their faithfulness, to their God-given task, to their God-given work. In other words, it's all about God. The ministry is all about God. Now, that is true. And I can say that on repeat, and yet it sounds so trite, cliche even. Oh, it's all about God. It's all about God. I mean, who doesn't say that? Everyone says that. And so before I drop into our outline, I want to nuance this, because you can say, it's all about God. I am all about God. The church and my pastorate, it's all about God. I can say that on repeat, and yet I can get you to focus on me. Paul wasn't doing this, and neither was Apollos for that fact. But the Corinthians were. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Oh, it's all about God. I am nothing. I am unworthy, wretch that I am. Woe is me. It's not about me. It's about God. Well, for someone who is all about God, he sure does talk a lot about himself. Christians and ministers who operate under the guise of faithfulness to God, who are quote-unquote all about God, but in truth are self-serving and all about themselves. The Corinthians, they were just like this. They were exactly like this, which is why they were so divided. And Paul was very aware of this misplaced focus. which is why he, in this passage, refocuses their attention. He says this, he says, God calls ministers and he puts them to work. God brings forth fruit from their labor and God will reward them in time. And thus our focus needs, well, it needs not be on them, the servants, on Paul or Apollos, but on God. And again, Paul is very aware of this false piety. I am all about God when in fact you're all about yourself. Turn with me to chapter 4 quickly, just a preview of what's to come. And listen to this and follow along with Paul. He says this in chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. He says again in chapter 4, he says, I'm nothing but a servant. I'm a steward of the things God has given. My simple goal is to be faithful. Nothing more and nothing less. At the end of the day, Paul says, I'm not subject to man's judgment. He says, in fact, I don't even judge myself. And then to qualify, he says this, no man judges me and I don't even judge myself. And even though I have this posture, Paul says, even though I have that perspective, he says, even then, I'm not justified. I can't even rightly judge myself because Paul is saying I'm all messed up. And so he leaves it to God. God will come. He will judge. He will reveal motives and motivations. Then and only then will each one's praise come from God. In other words, one of the marks of a faithful Christian minister, of a faithful Christian for that fact, is a genuine sense of self-forgetfulness. A mark, one of the marks of a faithful minister is a genuine sense of self-forgetfulness. Now, how hard is that, beloved? How hard is that in our day and age? In our Instagram, Facebook, selfie world? One Sunday night, after our service, I was getting ready for bed. And I got onto our website to watch the service again. And I noticed that night that our video stream had been viewed by some 900 plus people. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord. His word, it goes out and it doesn't come back void. It's out there doing the work. Praise him. And I thought to myself, pretty soon PBC is going to be trending. This is great. And so I texted Richard that night. I said, hey, did you know that our stream was viewed by some 900 people? And then he responded, yeah, yes, tell Pastor Danny to stop watching it. But then he went back. He went back to check on the numbers. And apparently YouTube's algorithm was suggesting our stream to others who had similar watch patterns. But he said, don't get your hopes up. The average watch time was like 29 seconds. So all of that to say, it is easy to lose focus, to lose perspective. And so Paul says, he says, listen, Corinthians, it's not about Paul or Apollos. It's not about the instruments. It's not about the instruments, but about the master who wields them. God gives the work. God gives the increase, and it is God who will reward. He gives the reward. And that's our outline. Well, then, let's look then firstly at the servants of God. God gives the work. Notice Paul says, what then in verse 5? What then is Paul? What is Apollos? He says, what instead of who? He says, what instead of who? The King James and the New King James say, who is Paul or who is Apollos? And that's a poor translation. Not who, but what. What is Paul? What is Apollos? What, not who, because Paul wants to de-emphasize the person and the personality. He wants to focus on the task and not the person. And I think we all understand this in our culture because we get caught up with persons and personality, with popularity and with stardom. But Paul wants us to focus on the fact that these ministers are first and foremost servants. They are stewards. Their task is given to them by God. And Paul here uses an agricultural illustration. He says this, he says, I planted the seed of God's word, and Apollos watered that seed. We're God's servants, he says. And God gave each of us a specific task. What are we? We are servants. Servants who simply follow orders. Ministers, he says, through whom you believe. We're servants through whom you believe. We are servants of salvation, in other words. Through one, you came to believe. He says, I planted. Through the other, you came to grow. Apollos watered. He watered what was planted. But, it was the Lord who gave each one his assignment. This is what we are. This is what we are, Paul says. We're servants. We were given a task to accomplish. This work was given to us. It was laid out for us, prepared for us beforehand that we might walk in it. And listen, it's not about the servants. It's not, but it's about the master who gives them their work. Paul's ministry, Apollos' ministry, my ministry, these are given by Christ. I am not the cause. Paul, Apollos, they are not the cause. Corinth was not Paul's church, Apollos' church. PBC is not Pastor Eric's church. It is simply the field in which I am called to labor. Paul says, we are but servants through whom you believe. And how does one come to believe? Well, by simply hearing the message of God. The servant's task then in this context is to simply deliver the message. The planter comes with the seed of God's word and preaches the gospel. His task is to preach God's word so that faith might come by hearing and hearing might come through the word of God. This is the initial work, you see, the initial work of the minister, the work of a missionary, if you will. Then comes the work of the pastor, the task of watering. And how does the pastor water? By giving these saplings the pure, living water of the word, so that they might believe and continue to believe, you understand, so that they might grow by the water of the word. And so Paul and Apollos were simply servants delivering God's word. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You remember from chapter 1, verse 17, what did Paul say? He said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The pastor's task is plain. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, I didn't come with excellence of speech or worldly wisdom. He says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Paul planted that seed, that gospel seed. He preached God's truth in Christ. And then Apollos watered that seed with the water of the word. Apollos also preached God's truth in Christ, living water. And that's what makes the seed grow. The gospel seed is simple. The gospel itself and the message is plain. Hear it? Here it is. Hear it now. Holy Creator God made man in his own image and likeness. Man sinned and separated himself from his Creator. As a result of sin, we die and are guilty before a holy and a good God, deserving of eternal punishment. Sin has so overtaken humanity that all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. There's none righteous, none who seeks after God, no, not one. But God in his mercy and love, he sent a Redeemer, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man. He lived a perfect life, as you know. He lived a life in fulfillment of God's law, the very law that sinners break, the law that we, each one of us, have broken. We have broken God's law, and we have sinned against God. But Jesus not only lived that perfect life, but then he stood in the place, hear it now, he stood in the place of sinners on the cross. He stood as a substitute. He took our punishment. He took our punishment so that we might be forgiven. He died for sin. And he rose again from the grave on the third day to give eternal life. He gave and gives eternal life to all who believe, to all who would put their full trust in the God-sent Redeemer and Savior. Put your full trust in him, and you will be saved. Saved from sin and from death and from hell and from the judgment of God. The Bible is a story of salvation and of redemption. And that message needs to be expounded and unpacked and explained from every verse, from every chapter, and from every book in all of its glorious detail and nuance. One was the planter. The other, if you will, was the water boy. But both were servants through whom the Corinthians came to believe. Sure, there were differences, but these differences were not worth quarreling over. It wasn't worth it, especially because the one who plants and the one who waters, friends, these are not ultimately decisive, because it is God who calls his servants. God gives them their task, and he gives the increase. And this is where our focus needs to be, on God and not men, on the master and not his servants. Well, secondly then, God gives the growth. God gives the increase. And Paul is explicit. Look at verse 6. God gives the increase. And then again in verse 7, God gives the increase. And Paul says, the planter, the water boy, these are nothing. Therefore, it makes absolutely no sense to glorify Paul or Apollos. Now listen, it's not that we despise our pastors. Ha ha ha, you're nothing. You're nobody. Listen, we don't despise them. I get enough of that already. But listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. He says this about servants, pastors, ministers. He says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them in love as servants because of, in other words, their labor of love. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those, and hear it, who labor in the word and doctrine. So, it's not that we despise or belittle pastors, ministers in any way, shape, or form. God forbid. Rather, God wants us to appreciate and honor and encourage them while they labor among us. But, they must not be glorified or made the center of special groups or movements. As a paintbrush in the hand of a master artist, or an instrument in the hands of a master musician. It's not the brush, is it? It's not the instrument, is it? Sure, it's important to have a fine-tuned instrument. That has its place, to be sure. But it's not so much about the instrument itself as much as the master who takes it up, who wields that instrument, who plays that instrument. Likewise, there is no sense in glorifying Paul or Apollos. These were simply instruments, as they say, in the hands of the Redeemer. The farmer is important. His work, his diligence, his labor. But when the farmer puts his head down at night on his pillow, what does he know? All his labor, all his toil, his planning, his preparation, it's all futile. Because without the sun, without the rains, without the seasons, without the land, all of which, these all, wait upon God. God has established and sustained all of these. And, no planter, no waterer, no farmer can give life, can make life grow. Only God gives life. He is the giver of life. He gives the increase. The most we can do is prepare. We can prepare the soil and the water. The rest is up to God. He is decisive, you understand. God gives the increase, and therefore our focus must be on Him. Our attention must be on God, not men. The instruments are not the cause. The servants are not the source. And so it makes no sense to focus on the servants or on the instruments, because it is God who gives the increase. And so, by point of comparison, Paul says, verse 7, so then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And mind you, Paul and Apollos were not in competition. They were not in competition with one another. Verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one. In a church, unity among the leadership is critical. Unity of mind, unity of purpose, one heart, one goal. That oneness will trickle down into all of the ministries of the church and its members. Or at least it should. As the church matures, it matures into greater unity, greater oneness, and solidarity. Now, I am pleased to report to you all that we have this oneness, this unity, this solidarity among the elders and pastors at PBC. Sure, if you know us, we have our moments, we have our spats, but we understand that the one who planted and the one who waters, we understand that they work together. If no one planted, then watering is pointless. And if no one waters, then the seed will come to naught. And so I am very grateful for the unity and humility of the pastors and elders of this church. I thank God for these servants. I think we all should. Now, brothers and sisters, we are talking about ministers and servants within the church. But listen. God has work for each one of us to do. There is work that God has prepared for you. Do you know what that work is? In a very real sense, we are all called to the ministry of the gospel, to planting, to watering, among family and friends, among co-workers in our community. Do you know the work that God has called you to? Are you His servant? Do you know that you're His servant? He has given you your task. Do you know what that is? And are you faithful in accomplishing your God-given task? Make it your goal to be found faithful in whatever station God has assigned. Singleness, in relationship, as a wife, as a husband, as a mother, as a father, at work, as an employee. Some of you think that rewards will be greater if you pursue some type of vocational ministry, pastor or missionary. But I actually don't believe that for a second. What matters is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the God-appointed task that He has assigned. You focus on being His faithful servant. God will take care of the increase. Now, He will take care of the results. We need to focus, each one of us, on faithfulness. Whether we preach behind a pulpit, whether we sit at a desk, or whether we stand over a sink full of dishes. All things I find myself doing regularly. You be faithful. Be ye faithful. Finally then, God gives the reward. God assigns the task. He gives the increase. And finally, He will reward accordingly. He will reward according to your faithfulness in the assignment. Look at verse 8. Paul writes, according to His own labor, right there at the end. And listen, we are so used to comparing. Wow, look at how big their church is. Look at how many people they've reached. Look at how, perhaps, look at their marriage as you compare it to your own. Or look at their home and how orderly it is. We are always comparing. And I'll be honest with you guys. When we get to heaven, I think most of us are going to be surprised. You see, we look and compare with the eyes of flesh. But God does not see as man sees. And He is certainly not comparing like we do. No. Each one will receive, Paul says, his own reward according to his own labor. Just read that verse again. each one his own. God has given you a specific task. What he has assigned to you is not what he has assigned to me. And so you need to worry about you. Don't worry about me. We need not compare, for better or worse. You do you, as they say. You worry about what God has assigned to you. In fact, if you worry about someone else's lot, then you will be distracted from being faithful to what God has specifically assigned to you. As they say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Because as you run the race that is set before you, if you jump into another lane, you risk derailing another runner and disqualifying yourself. And God doesn't want that for you. Focus on faithfulness to your own God-given work. You need not overly worry about the reward. He will take care of that, you understand. You focus on being faithful to what God has given you. You know what he has called you to. Be faithful. Make it your goal to be faithful in that assignment. He will reward accordingly. Now, most of my frustrations, most of my frustrations come from, it's because my wife's not doing this or that for me. Or my children, why are they this way or that way? It's because this person or that person didn't do this or that. Always someone else. That, beloved, is childish. It is childish. And that's why the Corinthians were so divided. And Paul's saying, no, focus on God. Focus on what he has given you, his assignment. Be ye faithful to your own God-given work, he says in verse 8. He will reward you accordingly. Not. He's not going to reward you because you were like this pastor or like that mom or that husband. Not because you made this much money or gave this much to gospel causes. No. Were you faithful with what God gave you? Did you run this race so as to receive the prize? Not someone else's prize. Not someone else's race. Listen, you don't run by comparing yourself to others. You won't and don't win the prize by comparing yourself. If you do that, then you run the danger of becoming proud about those who are behind you, or of becoming discouraged by people who are ahead of you. And God wants you to be neither proud nor discouraged. So don't worry about all that. Stay in your lane. Run the race set before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Your reward will be proportionate. Proportionate to your faithfulness to God, and not in proportion to how you ran in comparison to your neighbor. Again, listen to the emphasis in verse 8. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Stay in your lane. Don't worry about the other runners. Stay in your lane and fix your attention upon God, looking to Jesus. Listen, beloved, God gives the work, so our focus needs to be on God. God gives the increase, so our focus needs to be on God. And God gives the reward, and so our focus needs to be on God. Look at verse 9. It's unmistakable in verse 9 where our focus needs to be. Paul says this. He says, focus on God because we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We are God's. You are God's. God, God, God. Our focus is unmistakable. But the Corinthians, their focus was elsewhere, on Paul or Apollos. Perhaps your focus is elsewhere. Perhaps it's on other things, on everything and perhaps everyone but God. Paul says, he says, God will reward. All the same, our focus is not necessarily on the reward, but on the one who gives the reward. Hebrews 11, and you'll remember this verse, and listen to this, and you know this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things unseen. And then the author of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1, I just read you verse 1, but then he jumps down to verse 6. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you hear that? God is the rewarder. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after their reward? No. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The reward is what it is, but our focus needs to be on the rewarder. The faithful are those who diligently seek him. And Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 3:8. And I read it and I'll read it again. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And that by God who gives the reward. It is my sincere hope and prayer that this sermon, that it will enable you to focus on what God is doing in the upbuilding of his church, in its maturation and growth, even in these strange days, in these strange providences of God. It is my sincere hope and prayer that as we listen to God's word, that the word would upbuild this church and mature and grow us. May God richly bless you, beloved. And may he be our focus as we labor in his vineyard. As he yields the increase, may he be our focus. And as we look to the reward, may we look past it to the one who gives the reward, who has already given to us more than we could have ever asked or imagined in Christ our Lord and Savior. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Most merciful God, we come before you in confession. We confess our sins and our sinfulness to you. We often lose focus and we lack perspective, Lord, because too often we're focused on self, on ourselves and what others think. And with this preoccupation with self comes a world of trouble and heartbreak. We know where we ought to look, where our gaze should be fixed. Only we pray, help us in our weakness. Increase our faith and trust in Christ, for we know that by faith in him we are fully forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. In him we have all that we need for life and godliness. Ground our lives in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and forbid that any of us should be self-centered or man-centered in how we live or serve. Be honored and glorified as your church continues to navigate these difficult times. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.